Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to Exodus chapter 32. I want to talk to you a little bit more about worship. And that's probably going to be the last Sunday if we get through it. But have you ever wondered why sometimes it's so easy to worship and sometimes it's a little difficult? You know, how many of you sometimes sort of you feel like it's plowing, you know, but you have to plow through? You know, the enemy disturbs the atmosphere in a lot of ways, and we're here to reclaim it. We're here to reclaim the thing. But I want you to understand this thing about what leads up to you not worshiping, or what leads up to you actually think you're worshiping, and it's really not what God wants. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So go to Exodus. Did you find Exodus? Exodus chapter 32. Moses is up on the mountain. A cloud came down over the mountain, Mount Sinai, and God told Moses to come up, and he spent 40 days, 40 nights up there, but the cloud lingered for 6 days, and to the children of Israel, it looked like fire. It looked like the mountain was on fire, and it stayed there for 6 days. But Moses was up there getting instructions from God. How many of you know you need some instructions from the Lord? You know, we have a lot right here. This is a lot of his instructions, right? And he also speaks to you today, right? He also speaks today and gives you instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to you, you know, identifying the things he wants you to do. But anyway, Moses has gone up, and verse 1 of 32 says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to Aaron, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, as far as he's concerned, as far as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Now, he'd already told the people that he was going up on the mountain. Well, guess where he was at? Up on the mountain. But anyway, so you have this scenario that he's there, he's up on the mountain, God has given him instructions, given him downloads of what he's supposed to go do and how he's supposed to tell the people and everything. And in the process of that, the people get impatient. How many of you have ever been impatient? I'm watching hands and seeing who is not going to raise their hand, and I'm going to come talk to you. Okay, I see that late hand. But in the process that they, in their impatience, and they're just tired of waiting. Have you ever been tired of waiting for God to do something? Yeah. Well, see, those times are very vulnerable if we do not understand them. We have to understand that God is at work, God is faithful, and God will come through. Amen. God will come through. He told them he's going to deliver them, and he did, and he's telling them he's taking them to a land of milk and honey. Amen. And he's taking them to a very rich land that's going to be beneficial to all of them. And it says this, verse 6, so the next day they rose up because they'd done made the golden calf. It's amazing to me. You've heard it before, you know. Actually, Aaron tells them, listen, guys, go. And the Bible says, tear off. It says, tear off the gold from the ears of your wife and your children. Go, yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't recommend anybody tearing off any jewelry from a woman. I just really wouldn't. But Aaron said, okay, go get it. You know, go get all this. And they made a molten calf. They made a golden calf out of it. So out of this thing comes a calf. Because they wanted to say, hey, what are y'all doing? And Aaron acts a little, all I know is this calf came out. Uh-huh. Because it says here that he formed it. He didn't even admit that, but he formed it. Why? He was caught up with the impatience of waiting for God to do something. Waiting for God to be able to come down and speak. Waiting for God to be able to give them direction of what they do next. Be patient. You know that the Bible says that it is through faith and ever say the word patience. It is through faith and patience that we Are y'all asleep? That we inherit the promises. Faith and patience. Have you ever seen a faith movement? Anybody ever seen a faith movement? Anybody ever seen a patience movement? No, we just don't have enough time for it. So faith and patience, we inherit the promises. How are you going to inherit the promises? Faith and patience. Patience. We have to make sure that we hold the patience and really wait upon God that he is going to be doing what he said he would do. But anyway, they made this covenant. He said the next day they rose up early, burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to drink and to eat and to drink and rose up to play. That's the mindset. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, go down at once for your people. That's amazing. For your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Note that by their impatience, number one, corruption came. And that word corruption means ruin. We're coming to a place of ruin if we do not wait for the Lord. Do you hear that? So what this thing that started corrupting them, this thing of waste and ruin comes, and it says in verse 8, they have quickly turned aside from the way which I have commanded them. What did they do? They turned. How did they corrupt themselves? They turned aside from what God said. Turn aside. So anytime you and I begin to turn aside from the way that God said to do, the corruption begins to start. Now, we're Christians, we're born again. It does not corrupt our spirit. It does not do anything. Our spirit is incorruptible. Amen. The Bible says you've been born again from an incorruptible seed. So it's not your spirit that's being corrupted. And it wasn't in their day because their whole being is being corrupted because they're not born again. See, for us, you can't corrupt your spirit if you're born again. But you can corrupt your soul. You can actually corrupt your body. Okay, so you begin to see this, and he says, they have corrupted themselves because they have turned aside from the way that I've commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it. So through this corruption, through this impatience, through this thing of not wanting to wait for God and not really wanting to obey God, what God said to do, they turned away from doing that. And in the process, they made for themselves. Be careful what you make for yourself. Make sure that it is God's approval and God's will for you to be able to do. Was it God's will for them to make a golden calf? No. Why? Because they were already feeling the pressure from within. They was already wanting a God. And they said, Aaron, make us a God. Man, let's get together. Let's make us a God. Do you know that we make gods out of a lot of things? And that therein lies the next step of being corrupted. Next step of headed to ruin. When we begin to make money our God, when ministers make money their God, not only do they get corrupted, but they corrupt the people. Because you see here, Aaron's in charge, and Aaron is falling prey to the same corruption that they're having. And he's a leader. So you begin to see that this thing of not waiting for the Lord, and see, part of waiting for the Lord is our worship. You know, the reason being is because if he said something, he wanted us to, he said, how many of you have unfulfilled promises that God's given you? You have some. Listen, worst thing you can do is go try to make it happen yourself. Because you'll be trying to build a way that is not his way. You'll think it's his way, but you'll be trying to build a way that isn't him, and it will lead you to worship something other than him. Because when you build it, we have this thing about singing, mine, mine, mine. No, I'm not going to know this is mine. I built this with my own two hands. That's mine. It's mine. So you have that tendency to do that when you've built something, when you've made something. But when God asks you for something, you need to give it to him. Amen. as part of our worship. But he said, okay, they turned away as he commanded. They made the calf and they worshiped it. And not only that, they sacrificed to it. When you start making a god, you will start making sacrifices to that god. And it doesn't mean in our day, it doesn't mean that you're going to go up and light a fire and you're going to put some, it doesn't mean that. It's going to mean that you'll sacrifice other things in order to hold on to this thing that you have. So, are y'all with me? I'm plowing this morning. But I'm fine with plowing. Set it deep and say, get up. Let's keep going. So you begin to see that he said, and not only that, but they sacrifice to it. In other words, you will begin to make sacrifices. Whatever you worship, you'll make sacrifices for. Yep. Be careful that you do not sacrifice the things that God said he wanted you to do. Or not do. He goes on in Psalm 106. If you'll turn to Psalm 106, it gives you a little bit more detail about some of this. And he says in Psalm 106, verse 19, they made the calf in Hebron and worshiped the molten image. Thus, watch this from what it says. They exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. What did they exchange? Their glory. When you begin to do as they did and get impatient and start building things and getting ahead of God, and then you begin to worship that very thing that God never told you to do, or God never told you to have, God never told you to build, God didn't tell you that. So we went away from the instructions of the Lord, begin to do what, and he says, when you begin to do that, you begin to exchange the glory. And when you study in the New Testament, God and the Old Testament, you'll begin to see that the glory, Moses said, let me see your glory. And he actually showed him all of his character, his goodness, his kindness, his long-suffering, his patience. He began to show him every bit of that. And that's his glory. God's character is his glory. When you begin to search for other things in your own way and not waiting on God, you're making exchange from the glory, from the character of God. You're making an exchange. And what are you exchanging that glory for? He describes it just a mere image. Just a mere thing that does nothing for you. You're giving up all the characteristics of God, and you're taking in the very image of something that was built that you sacrificed for. You have to pause and just think about that just for a moment. It's like, wow. So this thing about worship is so deep within us that we are created to worship. Did I tell y'all last week about the first part of the body that when it begins to be developed in the womb? I told y'all that. What did I tell you it was? The ear muscle. You know, he wants you to hear. He's created you to be able to worship and to see. So he says, you've exchanged the glory. So in the midst of all of this, they were exchanging the very character of God that was among them. Here, take this. We'd rather have the ox, the golden ox, the golden calf. We'd rather have that than the character of God. All has to do with worship. Every bit of this has to do with worship. Why? Because it took them to a place that God was ready to do. Hey, I'm taking them out. He said, you exchanged their glory for an image. He said, and they forgot. The next thing says, and they forgot their Savior. When you begin to forget Jesus, and Jesus becomes a little thing in your life as a Savior, when you forget that he took you when you was at your worst place in life without him, and he brings you to a place of acknowledgement of who he is versus who you currently are, when you forget that, you begin to exchange the glory. Well, it's not, this word forget does not mean it just slipped my mind. It means I'm not thinking about it. That's not a thought process for me. We should always have a thought process about who, where I once was and where I am today because of him. Not because of man, not because of anything that I've done, but from where I was to where I am today. Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Is that true? See, that's part of your worship. That's part of your remembering him as your Savior. The one, and he says this. He begins to describe this. Done great things. Let me ask you, has he done great things for you? Yes. Raise your hand. If he's done great things for you, see, we should remember every day. We should remember the great things that God has done for us. He doesn't stop there. He said, and wonders. Has he done wonders in front? You know, I have scratched my head and wondered a lot of things. I said, God, why in the world would you even do that for me? I was talking to Eileen this morning, and she had a traffic ticket. Eileen, I guess I should ask you, can I share that? Too late. She had a traffic ticket. She's like an open book, if you've ever been around her. She's like an old book. She went, and all of a sudden she just walks up and she looks, and he the judge began to ask you a question if you've ever had a ticket or something like that. How's your driving record? It's good. All right, you're clear. Get out of here. It's, you know, you're free to go. No $200-something payment. No, that, you know. And she starts, and she's in court, and she's crying in court. Why is she crying? She ought to be happy. No, she's crying. And she is happy. You know what she's thinking of? The goodness of God. Did she deserve the ticket? She said, yes, I did. She deserved the ticket, but what did she get? What did she get? Mercy. The favor of God showed mercy. And I mean, it was just quick, and simple, and she's going out crying because of God's goodness. Why? God has done wonders. God has done wonders amongst us, right? And not great things and wonders. And he goes on and said, awesome things. At the Red Sea, he's done awesome things. How many of you would really, if I let you today, you could tell me about awesome things or an awesome thing that God has done for you. Raise your hand. Look over the house. See, God's at work. Do not forget all of this, because he says, I want you to remember, because if you fail to see his greatness, to see the great things, if you fail to see the wonders, if you fail to see the awesome things, you're making the exchange. You're exchanging the glory, your glory, for things that don't matter. Y'all hear that? Then he goes on down and he said in verse 24, and they despised the pleasant land. You know what that is? That is ungrateful for what he has given you. Because your land in which you live could be a lot worse than what it currently is. Is that the truth? The land where you live, in the land that you walk, could it be a lot worse? Shane, could it be a lot worse? You could be broke. You could be out of business. You could be with me. Is that true? So what should he do? Be grateful and do not despise, even the Bible says do not despise small beginnings. Because it's in the small beginnings that the big ones come out of. The big ones come out of. So he said that they didn't have a grateful heart for the pleasant land that he had for them. And the Bible also says this. It doesn't stop there. It goes on. It says, they did not believe what he said. No, I don't believe that. Have you ever been around people and you tell them what God's word is and they say, I don't believe that. That may be for you, but it's not for me. Somebody told me recently about it. So you need to watch this video. You need to watch this video of somebody putting somebody else in place. And they're rebuking them and putting this man's putting this other man in place. And I said, I don't really have time for that. No, you need to watch it because this is a prominent man over here and this is a man. And all the middleman is doing is stirring it up. And he's putting out the video. Just stirring it up. And I said, I don't really have time for it. Because all they want to do is just keep things stirred up. And it's called fighting for the faith. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what faith they're fighting for, but all they're doing is criticizing and becoming part of the accuser of the brethren. Because all they're saying, being fault finders. The Bible says, be careful of fault finders. All they want to do is find your fault. All they want to do is find the fault. If you got people that all they see is the wrong that you do, don't hang around them. You can share the gospel and then just let them do what they're going to do. Fault finding will all they want to do is just criticize. All they're wanting to do is just put you down. Not looking internally. And it says this, and they grumbled in their tents. We talked about grumbling the other week. Y'all remember that murmuring, complaining, that grumbling and that complaining? And it means, that word means to invite to stay. You got this thing that's bothering you. You got this thing that's irritating you. That's got this thing that's just aggravating you. And you start complaining. You're inviting that thing to just live with you. Come on in. I got some more complaining to do. I'll have some more friends here with you in just a minute because I ain't through complaining. You with me? That's what it means. It literally means to stay a while, to get whatever it is. I want what's bothering me to leave real quick. But when you and I start complaining, it begins to stay a while. Why? Because you've invited it. That's your authority. You've invited it to come on in. Have a seat. Stay a while. Oh, spend the night. We got a room in here for you. And in the morning, you can irritate me again. Well, anyway. So, one thing that goes, I'm trying to look through these highlights of these notes that I've got. One thing that this thing about worship, Jesus says, you have heard that out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself. This will go with what that weekend's going to be about. This thing here says, thou hast prepared praise. Thou hast prepared praise for thyself. You know what he said in that? That word means, it's only in there twice in the Bible. That word's only in there twice in the Bible. This thing about preparing praise, this word praise. And what it means is your story. Everybody say, my story. He said, in the mouth of little ones, infants and babes, I've prepared a story for me. One of the worst things we can do is not give him our story. Amen. Not share the story that he has given us from the very beginning. It's only, like I said, that word praise is only in there twice, and that's exactly twice in the Bible, and that's what it means. But it's not this, and it's not this. It says my story. And he said he's prepared that story for him. For him. You know, David had a story. And I really need to end. I don't need to look in notes anymore. If I do, I'll keep you here to 12:30 or 1. David had a story. David had a story to tell because he knew his God. And he worshiped his God. He lost the ark. Y'all remember they lost the ark for over 100 years. Can you imagine being without the presence of God for over 100 years? They get the ark back and they bring it back in and David doesn't take it to the tabernacle of Moses, which was probably about 15, 20 miles away. He takes it to Jerusalem and he builds a tent. He puts up a tent in the backyard and he opens the doors of the tent for people to come in. You know, when the veil was rent, the veil in the temple behind, you know, for the Holy of Holies, it was over a foot thick. Thick, not wide, thick, over 12 inches thick. And it kept you out. It let the high priest go in, but it kept you out. But the great high priest died, Jesus. Can you imagine the gift that we were given? That when he died, the earth quaked, the thunder rolled, lightning was striking all over the place. And all this because he's dead, the death of the Lamb of God. And the Bible says that the veil was rent, was torn from the top to the bottom. And we talk about how the one, but you know what, that's wonderful, but what is the result? It exposed the ark of God to all mankind, the presence of God to all mankind. And God tore it from the top to the bottom. It wasn't torn by man. It was torn by his sacrifice, by his death for you and I. Why? Because it exposed the very presence of God for all mankind. And it had laws. They had to do this and had to do that. But David was bringing it back into his city. And in the process of that, he gets real excited and happy. Why? Because the presence of God is coming to the place where he lives. Amen. And in his city. He got extremely happy about it. He made sacrifices. He'd take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They'd make 6 paces. They'd slaughter an oxen and they'd slaughter a fatling. Bloody, bloody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They'd slaughter another oxen and they'd slaughter another fatling. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They'd slaughter another oxen. They'd slaughter another. That's a bloody trail. Bringing the presence of God. It was a bloody trail for you and I to be in the presence of God. It was a great sacrifice. An awesome gift that we have. He gets to this place. He gets closer and closer. All the kingly attire was gone from him. And he's dancing. That word dancing means he was twirling. Just twirling. Just to twirl. Praising God and just twirling. In the presence of God. Just twirl. It means to whirl around. Church, we can't whirl. Didn't stop David. He whirled all the way down to his loincloth. He wasn't naked. A lot of people say he's naked. He wasn't naked. He twirled down to his loincloth. Praising his God. You know what? Because what is that? The ark. Mercy. The mercy seat. Mercy. How many of you need mercy? Come on now. How many of you need mercy? All the time. Mercy's there. Mercy's there. What's inside the ark? It's the tablets. The promises of God. The very promises of God. Mercy. The promises of God. There's a golden jar of manna. What is that? That's permanent. Why? Permanent provision. Why? Gold. It's one of those things that don't go away. Permanent. How many of you need permanent provision? That's in the presence of God. The rod of Aaron. Yeah, still doing what? Budding. Chopped off budding. What is that? That's the power of God and the authority of God. How many of you need the power and authority of God? That's in His presence. That's in His presence. It's not outside of His presence. That's in His presence. No wonder David was so excited and wanted to worship. But here's the thing about it. Do you know why Bible said that he danced with all whose might? His. He danced with all his might. Well, that's just flesh. He danced with all his flesh. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible said. He danced with everything that was in him. He whirled. He whirled. Well, I got to really wait on the Holy Spirit. He didn't. He danced with all his might. Why get down to the loincloth? There's a reason. Would you like to know it? I would tell you come back next week, but I'm not going to preach on this next week. I'm going to tell you today. Is that okay? Why did he do this? I'll tell you why. Because every time Israel went out and defeated another nation, every time they went out to defeat another nation, they would bring all the spoil, all the sheep, all the lambs, goats, chickens, everything that they had, They would parade all of their spoil down. They would parade it all the way down. Look what we've got. We took the land. We took their spoil. We took the enemy of God. And they're marching. And you know who else is marching? Somebody once said it was about like Santa Claus at the end, but it ain't Santa Claus. At the end of the parade, here comes what's coming. Here comes the defeated king. You have to hear this. Here comes the defeated king. And what are they making him do? They strip him down to the bare necessities of clothing and loincloth or whatever. They stripped them down. They're kings, but they conquered them. And they stripped them down and showed him before the conquered army, before the army that conquered them, him. He was stripped, and they made him dance. Dance. They made him dance. Why? He's conquered. He's conquered. And he's shown before the very enemy that conquered him that he's a conquered king dancing. Ooh. What was David showing the people? Tell me. That's the reason Micah is upset to no end. He's done stripped all of his kingly attire off. He's stripped all of that off, and he's down to a loincloth, and he's dancing and whirling wildly, and she just goes crazy. She don't like it at all. But what was he demonstrating to the people? He was their king. He was their king. What's he saying to them? What's he demonstrating to them? I am a conquered king that has been conquered by the presence of God. Yes. And I want you to see that I'm a conquered king. There's nothing left. There's nothing left in me for me. I'm a conquered king by the presence of God. Showing them how to worship. Telling them, yes, I am your king. But I'm down to nothing. And I've been captivated. And I've been conquered by the presence of God. That's the reason he did that. It was his might that took the clothes off. He decided to do that. He's showing the people, look, I may be your king, but I'm conquered by him. Church, there's no wonder that God said that in the last day he would rebuild the tabernacle of David in our midst. It's not the tent. Here's the tents. Here's the temple of God. What's he want us to do? The Bible says that we're priests and kings. Yes or no? He wants us to be priests and kings conquered by his presence. Yes, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. See, this thing about worship, goes much deeper than we ever thought it would. I don't know if there's anyone here that you have not surrendered your life. You just know in the deepest depth of your heart you did. You really have not surrendered your life to God. But you want to. And today's your day. If that's you, I'd just like for you to step out from where you are and come to this altar. Just step. This is your day to say, I want to surrender. I want to surrender. I want to be like David. I want to be conquered by him. Anybody, you're not born again and you want to do that today. Anybody? Chris is going to come to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, right where he is now, I just ask you in Jesus' name to continue to speak to his heart in ways that he understands that there's only one God. Lord, I pray that he does not come in contact with religion. I ask you, God, that he'll just be fresh, a newborn babe, to be fresh before your presence. Do it in the name of Jesus. You've already prepared his heart, so begin to reel him in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer? If you need prayer, like for if whatever it is, you can come up and we'll have someone praying for you. But thank you so much. Are you happy today? Did you learn anything today? Then give God praise. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoops. Okay, come on up and share it real quick. Yeah. Hold up just a second, guys.
Okay, I had to stay all service over here, God speaking to me, because he gave me this little piece of paper this morning, and I had it up here, but I was not obedient. And after the service, after Terry's message, I know why now. And somebody needs to hear this. So it's really for all of us. This didn't come from me. I heard it on 106.9 before I got here. And it says, share your story. It may be the key to unlock someone else's prison.
Amen. Amen. Share your story. Share your story. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.